So as we listen to Willie Dixon talking and playing Walkin' the Blues, his piece, he's one of the performers at this remarkable blues festival. To reach out with him are two of his co-performers, co-stars, Big Mama Thornton, Willie Mae Thornton, probably the most powerful woman singer of the blues alive today, and Sonny Lance Slim, who has been a remarkable blues man and friend of blues artists many years in Chicago. So we're sitting around talking. We just heard Willie Walkin' the Blues. I suppose the first question is, everybody asks, what's the blues? The answer is of Willie Dixon, or of Willie Mae Thornton, or of Sonny Lance Slim.
Well, the blues is a feeling. The blues is a feeling that's expressed in a song, and that's the blues.
That's right, man, that's right. Now, if you don't believe it, ask me.
Big Mama Thornton.
Well, when you've been blue all your life, you got to know what it's all about. And that ain't no stage, you. Sometimes I didn't even have nothing to eat. Even soda crack tastes like cheese and cake.
Where was this?
Well, you know, I was born in Alabama. And I started traveling when I was around 14, 15 years old, singing with a show called the Sammy Greenside Harlem Review out of Atlanta, Georgia. And we traveled. So I decided I wanted to sing the blues. Of course, I was a Coast Girl. I was dancing. I didn't like dancing so much, so I decided I wanted to sing. So I've been singing ever since the early 40s.
You know, that phrase that Big Mama Thornton used, Sonny Lance Slim, that soda cracker tastes like cheese and crackers. Is that it?
Cheese and cake.
Cheese and cake.
Yeah.
Well, you have
chicken and anything. It was really nice.
Well, you know, you have a lot of things to go through when you travel sometime. You have ups and downs and good days and bad days. Like when I started out, I wasn't an older man for only honky-tonks mostly, and minister shows like that. Florida Blossom, Silas Green, Sugarfoot, and all them fellas.
Where was this?
This is in Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Okay. And they don't want to come out in the fall of the year when they're picking cotton, you know. And the first little job I had was 1923 for Hot Shot at Lambus, Mississippi. They paid me $1.50 a night. That was a lot of money. You fly a mule in and work all the week. You get 6 bits a day, use extra good hay.
How long ago was this?
1923 and 1924, I began to be known about in Memphis, 1925. I stayed down in Mississippi.
You know,
yeah, I never knowed of, when I first fellows I got to know anything about, I knowed of Bessie Smith and Lonnie Johnson. And when I come to Memphis and I went to St. Louis, I met Lonnie's brother, Study Roll. And me and him worked together. Then I come back and I had a pleasure working with Georgia Tumsgood. And we didn't know holler which way was going. She was out of Georgia. That's the Ma Rainey. She fell short of a piano player in Arkansas. She had Georgia Tom. He went back.
That's Professor Thomas A. Dorsey, who's now the leading. Isn't that interesting? He's the leading gospel writer, which leads to a point, Willie, I'm thinking about Big Mama Thornton. The connection of hymns, church music. Here's a man who was saved. He played the blues for Ma Rainey.
Sure did.
Now he writes hymns and gospel music. I'm thinking about Big Mama Thornton, Willie Mae Thornton, would come to Willie Dixon. Your people were church people.
That's right. My father was a minister. He was a Baptist preacher. My mother, she was very religious. And me, I don't know what I am, Mom.
Well, you were just born with the blues.
Yes, you're right. I was just in between all of it. And I really got the blues at 39 when I lost my mother. And then I said, well, I don't know what to do. I said, well, I think I want to sing the blues. So I said, well, that time I was listening to Big Maceo, this Word Life Blues, and I said, I think I want to sing that. And I did. Yeah,
that was a beautiful number.
Yeah, the show came through, and in the first of the 40s, and called the Sammy Green's Hot Harlem Review, as I mentioned earlier, they didn't have a singer. And so I asked him, I said, give me an audition, let me sing. I said, I've been singing on the little talent show around here. He says, oh, little old girl, you can't sing. I said, will you give me a try? He said, yeah, well, when the show start, said we're going to give a little
audition
for singers because I'm looking for a singer. And so we give auditions. So I was there. He wrote my name down, said, well, people, they sound. And then he said, well, I want to see what you can do. So I got up there. I had on a pair of jeans, mm-hmm. one leg rolled up. I got up and I started singing one of Louis Jordan's songs called G.I. Jai. Mm-hmm. And I sung that song, and I sang this blues by Big Mason. And
Weary Life Blues.
Weary Life Blues. And he hired me. Out of 25 people, I was the 26th, and he hired me.
I'm thinking of, as Mama Thornton is recalling, which one of her songs, this has a record, as an old album of hers, she has a new album, an old album, Big Mama Thornton in Europe, when you were in Europe, which one of hers should we have, Willie? What do you think? Should we do Hound Dog, you think? That was a popular one. That's not exactly
Hound Dog was really a popular one. Had quite a few popular numbers.
Before Hound Dog was out, I had a hit record called Let Your Tears Fall, Baby.
Thing is, of course, Elvis Presley is known for Hound Dog, and yet people here both will say, well, you know, there's when William A. Thornton thinks. So we hear, that's from this record, because you sang this in Europe at the time.
Yes, I recorded that in London.
As we listen to William A., Big Mama Thornton, and Hound Dog, the feeling of, this may not be blues in the traditional sense, this particular number. This is a written number, right?
But, well, frankly, it's the blues, because just like I explained to you, any story that's told with a feeling, an expression, is the blues.
I'm thinking about yourself.
The blues is a feeling.
Is a feeling. About yourself. And also, people like Sonny Lance Slim and Willie Mae Thornton and Willie Dixon have lived it, too.
Oh man!
Well, really, if you haven't lived it, you haven't had it.
That's right. If you haven't been around where I've been, which the youngsters now, they'll never be where, they'll never make that stage, you know, because now they're born with a silver spoon in their mouth, and they think they can sing the blues. The blues is not based on silver spoon. You got to go out and live it and experience it, and then you'll know.
You know, Willie, do you want to say something?
You see, one thing about the blues, what makes it different, because people can go out and experience the blues today, and it's not like the blues that you experienced yesterday. You see, just like Mama said, the silver spoon business is makes the kids have a different idea from the idea that we had years ago, because the idea that we had years ago was all work, hard times, trouble, and a very little good time. But then, you know, as the blues was being made from the beginning, it started way back from even before slavery, where that people had to have something to survive on. You know, the laws of nature has always fixed it so that if a person was being fitted to do something, the laws of nature always helped them. Just like if you was going to cut wood or something like that. At first, for a while, you don't know whether, the laws of nature don't know whether you're going to stick with this job or not. So your hands get so and all like that, but after a while, after a couple of days, look like you're gonna stick with it. Then comes corns in your hand, and your muscle get hardened, and everything fits right in place.
You know, so this is what. You got corns in my hand, and I ain't been doing it for sitting down.
Yeah, but you didn't get the corns from sitting down.
Yeah, I did.
Oh well, they aren't in your hand.
You know, as Mama Thornton and Willie Dixon are hitting, yet the truth is there, Sonny Lance Slim. Explain to you that you have to live it, of course. I'm thinking about hard times that Willie Dixon mentioned and that you did, Mama. Sonny Land, you spoke of, you got $1.50 for the night was great. The man who was pulling with the mule. You're talking 1923, before what America called the Big Depression.
Right.
Well, nobody out there in the most ever, Lonnie Johnson and Bessie Smith and Monterey and Clara Smith and Blind Boy Fuller and a few other things. Bob. Some of them fellas, Big Bill was just beginning to come. Joe Williams was about the first one.
Well, what about Mamie?
Mamie was opposite then, see. Them backwater days, when they talk about that 27 highway, they was all out.
What about Ida Cox? Was she on the Holmes?
They
don't have them. No, I remember. I started hearing the blues of Bessie Smith. I was a kid myself, you know. I was a young cabbie and still always run around the house humming the blues. My daddy wanted to get to be able to read the stuff, but I hit the door.
Well, really, you pick, Mama, I'm going to tell you, when Bessie was singing, we didn't have things were easy for people like it was now. Because I was scared to play in Mississippi too much, because my father had passed the same year that Big Bill died. My father and my old lady died too, 59. But he passed one church for 38 years at Richmond, Mississippi. And I didn't want to come right up under my daddy. He was such a good, great worker and church worker. I didn't want to come right up under my parents and play the blues. So I would stray off. And then I didn't like my stepmother. That caused a lot of going, you know, instead. Until I run up on Big Bill and the fellas. And it put me more interested. But
this is something, is the fact that we'll come back to this. What we're talking about, the opposition, the obstacles. Well, we hear Sonny Lance thing, I sure got a thing. Are you like? I think that's one of Sonny Lance's. I sure got a thing going.
She got a thing going on.
Yeah. Someone like Mama Thornton.
Yeah, she was with me when I believed it. Yeah,
I might have played the drums on that. I don't know.
We'll hear about Mama Thornton and the drums. We'll hear it now. She got a thing going. We heard that might have been you at the drums. Mama,
I don't know which one it was, but I was on the drums. They were on one of his numbers.
I guess that's the story, isn't it, Willie? How she came, Mama Thornton came to the drums. How'd you come to the drums?
Well, now this is just what you call an accidental something. They had a place called the La Tapa Tier there in San Francisco. And I walked in there one night and they had a drum set up and no drummer. And again, he was over there reminiscing around the piano, so I sit down on the drum and just kept a rhythm beat going. And he looked at the band and he said, "Hey, she played a pretty good beat there." I said, "Since we don't have a drum," said, "well, they make the gig," said, "well, we just pay her what we were going to pay the drum. And maybe she'll stay." So the guy was leading the band. He said, "Well, you know, we're not making that kind of money." He said, "but it is paying 15 cents for a night." I says, "Yeah." I said, "well, if you're going to give me 15 cents a night," I said, "I don't mind."
15 cents a night?
Yeah, that's $15.
That's
$15.
That's the scale. See, that's union scale, right at that per time. But since then, it went up. You know,
and everything went up.
And so,
we know that now.
So I played that night, and when I got off, he gave me my money. And he said, "where do you live?" I said, "I live right around the Eddie Hotel." And he says, "you mean you live right around the corner?" I said, "yeah, I just walked away." And then he started talking to somebody else, so I walked away. Now, he don't know I'm the original hound dog. He don't know I'm Big Mama Thornton. All he just wanted somebody to help him feel his game. And when I left, some cat said, "hey, do you know who you had playing drums all night for you?" The cat said, "who?" He said, "that lady there, the original, you ain't nothing but a hound dog." Said, "that's Willie May, Big Mama Thornton." And the cat, he told me, said, the expression he got on his face, he said, "oh, I got to answer. I got to go down there and tell her. And I'm going to go down there and give her some more money because I didn't know she was a blues." I hadn't been too long to come out the hospital and I had a lot of operations, you know. So now on, he came right there to me. He fired the drummer and told me, he said, "I want you to play every night." And from that day on, we got a rehearsal. We rehearsed and we got things down. And the man gave us more money because I was singing and playing drums, so he raised up, he gave us more money. And because we were piling them in after he put the sign out there that I was the one that made Hound Dog. And so we started making pretty good salary there for the man was making pretty good money. So after the see he was making good money, then here comes some people want to start the fighting in the place and, you know what I mean, the man down the street because he was drawing all the people up there. He sent somebody up the street there to break up the man's place. The police started coming in, so the man closed up.
But I'm thinking about something here. Isn't this amazing? We're going to ask about the piano of Willie Dixon and Sonny Lance them. You just sat down the drums. You had no training.
Never.
And the harmonica the same way?
Never. I never took a lesson in music at all.
Suppose we hear, we'll switch things around. We'll hear Willie Dixon Sane Asylum a little later. Suppose we hear Big Mama Thornton, the thing she's talking about. In Session Blues, is that you playing the drums, or should we hear the harmonica?
Well, I'm playing drums and singing on Session Blues.
Yeah.
And Shaky Horton is blowing the harmonica.
What
this young man right here.
What should we do, Shaky? Yeah, Shaky Horton and harmonica. So we'll do Session Blues then.
Yeah, I like
Session
that.
Blues.
Crazy.
Well, that's you, Willie Mae, Big Mama Thornton, and she and Willie Dixon, Sonny Lance Slim, our three guests this morning, will be performing at that big Reach Out Festival at Grant Park that Saturday.
Yes, speaking of this Reach Out program, you know Chicago has been noted to be the mecca city of the blues around the world, and the Chicago musician has been going all over the world producing the blues for everybody, but we have never featured the blues here in Chicago like it should have been featured, when this should have been the first city recognizing and respecting the blues, because ever since in early 20s, all people has built the blues right here in Chicago. And this is one of the things that we are doing here now. We are bringing these entertainers in here, and all of them had something to do with the building of Chicago being the mecca city of the blues. That's why they got all these various entertainers that you've never heard, and lots of them go to these foreign countries and things and make big programs and turn out big recordings and make it real big and come back here, and nobody never know anything about it.
You know, that's the story.
That's right, isn't it?
Big Mama Thornton, Sonny Lance Slim, Willie Dixon, Memphis Slim, Big Bill, were so much better known. I remember when I was in Europe. Your names were all known, but you weren't known in your own home country.
That's right. You know, that's true. We make a bigger hit Over in Europe and all the foreign countries, all over the world.
In fact, me and
you made
three pictures over there this time.
Yeah, we make movies, television,
radio,
and everything.
It's like, man, so this picture here that was taken, that was on a TV show in Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, this is Big Mama Thornton. This is in Europe, our Hooli label. Suppose I'm thinking how Mama Thornton came to play the harmonica on her own and drums. I'm thinking of Willie Dixon and something, the piano, you and also your composing.
Yes.
This on your own too?
Well, I play the bass. I was playing the bass. I had several different units before this. Mm-hmm. I had the big three trios, Four Jumps of Jive, mm-hmm. and we were recording for a lot of different companies. Mm-hmm. Then I started producing for various companies and things like that all over and writing quite a few songs.
There's something you said earlier, and perhaps you and Sunnyland, who lived in Chicago for a number of years, talk about, Chicago became the center. It's when the movement, is it because a lot of people, black people moving up to Chicago
to get
jobs in the stockyards?
And they could always get a job at the stockyard as a part-time, and then he could always work on the weekend or at night playing some house party or gig or something, and then the time he get himself the least bit known, somebody else, some of these various people from foreign countries would walk in to grab him and take him off and record him, and the next thing you know, he's into something. And then he don't have to go back to the other thing no more. And by doing this, it's been thousands, I mean literally thousands of people that we can't even call their name. You take like Victoria Speevy, Tampa Red, and all those from way back.
Big Maceo.
Big Maceo.
Yeah.
Coco Taylor and
Memphis Minnie.
Oh, yeah, Memphis
Minnie Lawless. Do you know her?
Yes, all these people.
I did a couple of albums on one of my albums called Why Don't You Be My Chauffeur?
Yeah.
And there's used one black rat.
We one black rat.
Yeah. And I did this thing, Looking the World Over.
She played a powerful guitar, didn't she?
Nice guitar. She really played a nice guitar.
Really?
Suppose we hear, Willie Dixon has written so many numbers. How many blues have you written?
Oh, I have registered with BMI a little over 300, but I have a few others scattered around places too, you know, with ASCAP and others. And some of them are blues and some of them are other songs.
How would you describe Insane Asylum?
Well, I would say And you know, when you're writing a song, you have to have a meaning. And in this is a story like someone would go to the insane asylum. They've been looking for someone that they couldn't find. And all of a sudden you walk out to the insane asylum and you look and there they are, you know. And this individual person is someone that you was in love with. And then you go to express what you're singing and how you felt. And then you tell it in songs with a feeling.
Yeah.
And this is the way you express insane asylum.
So we hear this is
and cool. So I'm singing the first part of this song and describing about how I went to this insane asylum and found this someone that I love. And then the second part of each verse, then Coco Taylor come in there as if she's the one that was
he was the one in there. Yeah.
And glad to that someone could find her and save her.
So it's kind of a tragic number in a way.
Yes, it is. It's tragic, but it has a lot of feeling and it's got a very good beat.
So we hear them when we get to Insane Asylum with Coco Taylor. She'll be performing that too, won't she, at the...
Oh, definitely. She will be there, yeah.
So we hear Insane Asylum. Come to you, to Sonny Lion Slim, to Big Bill, to Mama Thornton. These lyrics come out of what you said, life itself, your own experiences.
That's right.
You are. Yeah. That's just like this ball and chain, you know, I wrote that, you know.
Mm-hmm. By the way, ball and chain is a number that Mama Thornton wrote out of your life. And we know that Janis Joplin sings it. She's a powerful voice. but somehow it's out of your experience.
Right.
Not hers, out of your experience.
Well, for me, I think it's a beautiful way she did it, but it still is not the original. And the original is on my new LP, just been released by Mercury, called Stronger Than Dirt. Ball and Chain is on there, in which I have on our Hula label. I did part one and part two for Chris Daughtry, the one that
who's that minor notes for our Hula. Yeah.
Yes, and they got the Ball and Chain part one and part two, and a song I did called Wade in the Water.
Wade in the Water. Now that Wade in the Water is a church song.
Yeah, I did Wade, that, but I did it in the. I did it in my own way. I arranged it myself.
Yeah.
And you know, at least I had the cat to arrange it the way I wanted it.
You know, we're just talking casually here with Willie Mae Thornton, Big Mama Thornton, Willie Dixon, Sonny Lion Slim, three powerful figures in the world of the blues. That's so indigenously American music. They're three of the performers with Muddy Waters, with John Lee Hooker, with Coco Taylor, with any number of people will be performing. There'll be about two dozen at least. It'll be at Grand Park, won't it?
And that's right, Grand Park Band Show.
And it's free. Starts about, it'll be Saturday.
Saturday.
Starting at about...
10 o'clock in the morning.
10 o'clock in the morning through about 8 at night, something like that.
That's
hours.
Right.
And straight, free.
And it's free.
There's never been a festival like this in Chicago.
Well, I'm glad you said 10, because I have to work Friday night, and the time I get home, I get about 2 hours sleep, it's time to go out to the field. Yeah.
And even though Mama Thornton is kidding, the fact is it's a tremendous amount of work. Sing, it comes back to what Sonny Lion Slim earlier and Willie Dixon about hard times. It comes out of hard times. We've just been discussing very casually obstacles. You had to evade your religious father, and also you had to evade your parents because they frowned upon the blues. Is that it?
That's right. My father was a guitar player before he went to preaching. His guitar player.
He gave up the guitar after he preached?
Well, he did, so my mother died, and right after that he started roaming, and knowing again, he come back home. My father had, grandfather had a little small farm, 130 acres, and he had to help him, and he flew around a little church called Galilee, started killing me. They didn't want to see me. They wouldn't have kissed then. You go with dad to sing the blues around your parents.
You know, as Willie Dixon, I was thinking perhaps just before we, it's all too short a session, because all we're doing is scratching the surface. You're going to have a book on the blues soon yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing but the blues. And I know Mama Thornton has so much to say in Sonny Lion Slim. All we're doing is really touching on it.
While we are talking, I would like to mention a cat that really sings the blues and really play nice piano. That's Jack Dupree. Him and I wrote this Unlucky Girl here.
Is that Champion Jack Dupree?
Yeah.
Champion
Jack.
He's over in Switzerland.
He's in Paris the last time I saw him.
No, he lives in Switzerland.
He's in England. I got Mike Vernon.
Oh, yes, he's in England now.
He
just
got a letter from him. Told me to Jack say hello. He's in England.
Yeah. The last time I remember met Willie Dixon was in Paris. You and Memphis Slim were in Paris, and I remember that session very well in the basement down there.
Yeah, 12 my years.
Yeah, that's right. You down there too, sir. I remember that. So perhaps we started talking about the blues, and we end with talking about the blues, and it comes out of life experience, and three of the artists, my three guests today, have experienced it. And the hard time, survival is thing. I'm thinking of that number that Sonny Lion Slim has recorded, every time I get to drink it.
Get to drink it?
Yeah.
Well, the way that has happened up mostly, I had sketched over once, me and Memphis Slim had some things we were going to do each other's. And Willie was writing songs, and when you get something on your mind, stud, you just all lay down, you get that tension on your mind. Me and Willie was in Switzerland at this time. Willie was writing two songs some nights, and I wrote that song, and I started playing it, it hit old Willie, you know, cause we'd been away for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And it hit old Wolf, too. Mm-hmm. You know, and the song kind of got up to him.
I was like
feeling, Willie was, I come out with it. Wolf told me, said, man, it's a good God. What's the matter with you? You must be thinking about your woman at home, ain't I? Well, Willie, crazy, man, I like that song. Well, I sat up that night, he'd write about bang, dang, doodle and all them stuff over there, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, I had him wrote that song then, I'd go home, stood up, be drinking, mess around, I'd get started, I'd finish that up. And I thought right the same about Jesse James, you know. That's just what I'm saying. You don't quit them things. You know, if something hits you in the head about the blues, a good title is a story thing about you. You won't go to sleep. You finish it.
Yeah, another thing of what I liked about this, you see, when a person get a long ways from home and they get kind of lonesome, you know, and maybe he might decide he want to sit somewhere and have a nip or two. Mm-hmm. And while he having his nip, why, naturally, he's going to think about home. And this is what Sunnyland was doing, because when he started drinking, he started thinking about his wife, yeah. His woman at home. So the first line in the song is what really moved me. Because you see, every time I get to drinking, that little girl rolls across bye-bye. And you can't get out, you know?
Almost, in other words, before we say goodbye, and we hear every time I get to drinking, any experience, any mood, that becomes the basis of a lyric, doesn't it?
That's right.
Anything. It could be an object. Billy, you say a piece of wood, a desk, a knife.
That's right.
You can do five things with a knife. He says you can shave, so a man shave with a knife, horns with a knife. You can cut fish with a knife. You can kill with a knife. Anything.
Yes,
and they got five verses.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now, you take back this song that Coco Taylor did, a song called Don't Mess With The Messer. Now, in Jewish, the messer means knife.
Yeah.
Don't knife the knifer.
Yeah, don't knife the knifer.
So, I mean, so you just can't
almost
tell.
Anything.
Yeah.
So, we'll say goodbye on a what you call a bibulous note, paying tribute to John Barleycorn, saying with the
you know,
every time I got the
every time I get to drink.
What are you going to say, Willie, before we say?
Well, before we go, I wanted to tell you that Muddy Waters is also going to be on this show, and Little John and lot of the fellas. And then what's so great about it is going to give a lot of these fellas a chance that you haven't heard that's been making it big in all these other places.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are many of them that, right here in Chicago, many blues artists that you haven't heard and don't know about, and you get a chance to hear them all.
And see them also.
Yeah, Willie Dixon, Sunnyland Slim just echoed is the fact that there are so many anonymous creative spirits in our city we don't recognize.
That's right.
And they'll be there, in addition to our three celebrated guests this morning, Willie Dixon, Willie Mae, Big Mama Thornton, and Sunnyland Slim.
And thank you,
thank you very much, Willie.
I'd like to give you my pleasure for being here.
Oh, I'm delighted. Thank you,
Sunnyland. It is wonderful, and to think about how you treated my best friend, Big Bill, and all of your peoples, how wonderful we did to get together, and the eyes we pulled together. It's a pleasure to be with you.
In a way, Sunnyland, perhaps this could be, this big festival, it would be a tribute to all the blues singers who given and gone to, like Big Bill Bruce.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I thought in the time remaining, Sunnyland Slim singing one of his pieces, Willie Dixon, Big Mama Thornton. A most recent album of hers, she'd probably be singing this at the festival, is Mercury. And she offers Ball and Chain that Janis Joplin has scored with so mightily. It's Mama Thornton's number, though, as Hound Dog was, too. She got $500, by the way, for Hound Dog. Sold 2 million copies. This is the old story Big Bill used to talk about all the agents who have dollar signs for eyes. Big Mama sings Summertime. I thought it might be worth ending with this. This has been sung by so memorably by Billie Holiday, another version by Mahalia Jackson. Janis Joplin sings it, tries in her way, and Mama Thornton does it in her way.